This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story, we'll be talking about the tourism industry in Malaysia. This is coming after comments of Tony Fernandez suggesting that Malaysia needs an integrated tourism plan and not exit taxes and visa fees. So we wanted to know, what does our tourism industry actually need? And for yourself as a tourist, for yourself traveling in Malaysia, what are your experiences and what do you expect when you travel locally? So the conversations about the departure levy has been coming up and again, because in Budget 2019, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng did give an idea of what that would roughly look like. So it's 20 ringgit if you depart from KL to an ASEAN country, or depart from Malaysia to an ASEAN country. It's a 40 ringgit amount if you depart from Malaysia to, say, elsewhere. So I guess with that point, it's whether or not that departure levy will affect the amount of tourists coming into the country, or is our offerings as a country enough to retain and keep tourists coming into Malaysia?
Well, for me, the departure levy, I went to Thailand and I had to pay a departure levy there. It just so happened I was so broke at the time, and and I had literally the last penny. I was just able to pay the departure levy so I could leave. But for me, it says, thank you for visiting our country and paying the departure levy. My God, we really need this money. It feels so desperate. I do not like departure levies. I don't see why we need it.
Well, I guess the rationale behind it is to, you know, increase your revenues, and supposedly they can channel it back into the tourism industry in Malaysia. But I just wonder
It can't be guaranteed, though.
Yeah, it can't be guaranteed. So I just wonder how much of it will actually be channeled into our tourism industry.
Or it just might be a game of catch-up, right? Singapore, Thailand and Hong Kong, for example, already charge a form of departure tax for travellers. Japan, for example, started this year imposing a sayonara tax. That's about 1,000 yen for departing visitors. So some may say that it is, you know, a way of punishing people for coming to Malaysia, but separately it could, and coming off as very desperate. And separately, it could just be a case of us just trying to catch up with what other countries are already doing.
Well,
I don't see it as catching up. I see this as an opportunity. If other countries are doing the departure levy, then maybe we can be like, hey, you know what? If you come here, you won't get charged.
Right.
So come here instead of Singapore, Thailand, and other countries.
But I guess it depends also on how price sensitive tourists are, those that come into Malaysia. So whether, and of course the argument is that if we do impose this levy, it's that they will just go to other countries that don't have it. There are neighboring countries that don't have it. For example, I think Thailand doesn't have a departure levy, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah, it does.
Well, it does. Oh, yes. I forgot. Yes, you just mentioned it.
Unless they've changed it.
So we're going to get someone on the line later to talk about the departure levy. He is Ajit Joel, president of the Malaysian Public Transport Users Association. We'll be right back after this. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:34, almost 6:35. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. So earlier we were talking about the departure levy that is set to be imposed on the 1st of September. Tony Fernandez has come out against it, saying that Malaysia instead needs an integrated tourism plan. So we've been asking for your messages. You can keep them coming. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, we have a tweet here from Zulkifli.
Zulkifli says, it's well within the rights of the government to impose departure levy. It never deterred me from going to Thailand before, for example, because I just budget for it. I don't think it will be a deterrent for Malaysia too. After all, everything else is cheap. But kill the passenger tax.
So was the departure levy in Thailand a problem for you? Because you went there regardless, Cam.
I went there regardless. And it just so happened I was staying with some friends who left early, did not pay their hotel bill, so I had to pay it. I had no money left.
A very nice thing to do.
Yeah. Actually, no, it was in fact an airport tax. I think it came to me when listening to the interview just now. And sure, no one's going to say, oh, I'm not going to go to Malaysia because they're charging me 20 bucks. Because that's, what, £4 or something? Mm. that would be insane if they did that. But nonetheless, it's just do we need to do it? Are we imposing other taxes along the route? And I'm not for it, but it's it always makes me think of Thailand differently.
Huh?
Yeah.
Would you go back? Have you gone back?
I've been back many times.
So our message comes from KW, and he says, people come to Malaysia because it's cheap and the weak ringgit, not because of attractions that they are dying to visit. The departure levy defeats the purpose of tourists coming here.
Well, I mean, when they come here, they still need to do things. So our attractions are important as well. So so the departure levy, I don't know, maybe if it's 20 ringgit or 40 ringgit, then that's only a few dollars or pounds for them. And when added to the other things like our attractions, hopefully we'll encourage them to come here as well. So the integrated tourism plan that Tony Fernandez was talking about, whatever shape or form it takes, it must take into account the tourism industry as a whole.
Well, I would like to talk about for a moment this integrated tourism plan.
Yeah.
There's this sort of fiction always put out in this country that there's some possibility of creating some big giant head, a central point that we can process all these things through, and it'll be a central integrated plan for something, and it never works. So because we do operate individually as we create our ideas for things. But I would say in the past, back in the 90s, I worked in advertising and I worked on around a number of tourism campaigns.
Right. Mm.
And so here were the big integrated plans, as it were. And one thing that really disappointed me constantly was that and times have changed. We don't necessarily make advertising campaigns like the old days, but the campaigns were always created entirely by Malaysians. Now, I am not one for saying we should get highly paid foreign consultants to do our work for us. Mm-hmm. But in the case of looking at tourism, an integrated plan or what have you, we would probably need to look at and understand our target market more, indeed, than we need to look at our product. Because we know the product well. This is Malaysia. We live here. We know that the transport's good or bad, the food is good or bad, et cetera, et cetera. But the target market, what does that person in Dusseldorf want? What does the person in Los Angeles want who is thinking of doing an Asian trip, is thinking of going to Vietnam and hadn't thought of going to Malaysia? What do we need to do to approach them? What is the language that we need to, the imagery that we need to create? And I don't think that Malaysians are actually qualified really to understand the American market. So if we're talking integrated plans, I think we need to turn things around, look at the equation differently, look at the target market as opposed to necessarily the product.
So when you were part of those advertising campaigns...
On a very junior level.
Right. And who did you consult for those campaigns? Who did you speak to? I'm guessing there must have been some level of engagement on the ground or of some sort.
Well, very little level of engagement with me because I'm very junior. So
okay.
The level of engagement was, get me a coffee now. But all I can tell you is just that as far as I could see, it was you know, the client then was your old school minister stroke bureaucrat.
Right.
Who would be talking about, well, London people like this. Well, they had no idea what London people like. And the bureaucrat also wants to educate the foreign tourist on what Malaysia is and wants to tell the foreign tourists what they should look at and how they should respect us. And I'm just constantly thinking, what? Because we just want them to come here, have a good time, spend lots of money.
Yeah.
So let's supply them with an enjoyable experience that they will go home and tell their friends, Malaysia's really good.
And when you said about respecting us, you mentioned just now, it reminded me of Malacca. When I went to Malacca, the tagline for tourism was, don't mess with Malacca. And I was like, what? Why?
Yeah.
It's just a weird marketing campaign on their behalf.
Yeah, and I constantly came across this, the idea that we must educate and they must respect us. They must learn to respect us. It's like, come on.
And they must deliver information about Malaysia back to their home country, their friends there, in a very textbook way.
Yeah. Because obviously, when you go home to Dusseldorf, there's always going to be an opportunity to give a lecture to your friends and neighbors about the history of Malaysia. Because that's just the way things are done, isn't it, when you're a tourist?
So let's head to our phone lines. We have Wisely on the line. Wisely, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Wisely. Good evening, guys.
Hello, yeah, good evening.
I'm actually in the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. And you see, how the government and the ministry should run it is actually to leave it to the tourism players to do the marketing and campaign. Because only people like us who are in the industry have the knowledge and knows it well, how to market as to which market, target market, like what he mentioned just now, you know. So right now, which is good, recently the tourism Malaysia has a fund, which is 5 million ringgit. It's not a lot, but it's better than nothing. So with that, we can make use of that to promote Malaysia better. Because we cannot rely on tourism Malaysia to find an ad agency and do their own Visit Malaysia year 2020, whatever. That won't reach anywhere. So the tourism ministry has to leave it to the tourism industry players to do this for them. And that's where we will actually bring in the tourists into our country in a more productive and effective manner. Yeah.
So I guess then if, let's say, there was something that the government could do better right now for our tourism industry, what would it be for you?
The tourism ministry has to support the industry here, the players. Mm. The inbound industry players, these are the people that actually bring the business into Malaysia. And we know what is good, what is not good to promote Malaysia better. You see? Because everybody in this industry, they know, they have the knowledge. You know? But it's just about reaching out to the market, yeah.
Sure. In terms of reaching out to the market, presumably, if you're trying to sell a story to China, it's very different from selling a story to North America.
Yes. You're right.
And so what are the kind of stories that you would sell to these different markets, say China?
Because different markets have different demands. So we have to see what sort of demands that they want. So in our industry, yes, there are so many players in the industry that knows, that has expertise in certain areas, you see. So we cannot that you need to have a uniform plan or uniform packages also to actually go to these markets. So everyone will have a different kind of packages to sell for different market targets. Yeah.
Wisely, thank you so much for your call. And there is a lot to take away from there that maybe the government just needs to let go a bit and trust local players to be able to help our industry.
Well, to be fair to the government, this is Tony Fernandez suggesting that there should be an integrated plan, and the government has let go a lot because the government does not have an integrated plan. but yes, I think that individual industry players will hopefully know their markets well and can speak to them well. But I think that if there is to be, as indeed I've seen that Thailand and Indonesia are having strong campaigns, if there is to be one, I personally just feel that you need to go to the markets themselves, those marketplaces, be they China or the States or wherever, and tailor the campaigns to focus directly on them. Well, I was in Los Angeles. Sorry, one second. I was in Los Angeles a long time ago. And I remember driving through Los Angeles and there was a big poster for Malaysia campaign. It's like, wow. Yay, Malaysia. Oh. And it was hundreds of headdresses.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? unless you're some sort of headdress fetishist. It's like, you're not going to book a flight to Malaysia on the back of that. That was a long time ago, admittedly, and then things have changed. But that was clearly the sign for me of a bureaucrat's idea. We must tell them about our culture and all these different headdresses that people wear. Nobody cares.
Really? I thought the exotic thing would work well.
Yeah, but it wasn't presented in a beautifully... Okay. The visuals were not exotic. You sell the rainforest. Sell the rainforest, right? Sell the rainforest. No tourist will actually go to the rainforest, but they need to know that when they go to the shops, it's in the context of that green rainforest.
Yeah, right. So to extend your point, I think if they were to do these marketing campaigns, they should consult the tour guides and gather information about what is it that interests the tourists that come from other countries. Because these are people who have like first-hand access to knowledge from on the ground.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and one of the top lists things on the list would be toilets.
So we do have a lot more messages to get through, but we have to get to some messages first. But keep them coming. What do you think can improve our tourism industry? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:48. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. We're still talking about tourism after a suggestion from Tony Fernandez to have an integrated tourism plan instead of a departure levy. So we're just going to dive straight to the messages, but you can keep them coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. What would it take to improve our tourism industry? If we were to have a plan, what would you like to see in it? So Diana says, I fully agree and support what Jimmy Leong said, the president of the MTGC. That was our call earlier. So the government and tour operators market and promote a promise. Tourist guides carry out the promise to ensure tourists get value for money and will return for another holiday or help us by sharing their experiences to influence others to come visit us. Reduce or take away unnecessary taxes and get tourists to come. Once here, they will spend and bring higher tourism receipts to the whole tourism community. And that came through again from Diana, who is a licensed tourist guide.
Very clear, simple logic that you can't argue with.
So we also have a caller on the line right now. It is Z. Z, good evening. What do you have to say?
Hi, evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First of all, I'm a flight attendant. I was Cam's flight. Cam, you came back from Bali a few weeks ago. Yeah, I was the one who had a picture with you, if you remember me.
You know what? You're thinking of my brother. Yeah, this happens all the time. That was my brother, Karim.
Yeah.
He doesn't owe you money, does he?
He probably does.
Okay.
My point is, I think the closest country we can compare is, and the one with most experience in ASEAN is Thailand, definitely. Mm-hmm. And they do their tourism game very well. And my friend actually sent an article about how Thailand projects its soft power. So there's an article on Vice.com. I'm looking at it now. It's titled, "The Surprising Reason That There Are So Many Thai Restaurants in America."
Right.
So apparently, there are only about 300 Thai Americans in the U.S., but there are about 5,500 Thai restaurants. Almost every city, every small town, there's a Thai restaurant. And the reason is that the Thai government actually gives grants to every entrepreneur who wants to open a Thai restaurant in the U.S.
Mm.
And now everyone knows Thai food. I mean, it was in Captain America. Captain America wrote down, what did I miss? Thai food.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's that. And it really did help in their tourism game. Of course, we have Malaysian restaurants there, but I don't think they, Malaysians in the U.S. open without, with any grants or any funds, assistance from the government.
Well, that may well be. So I was in the States, and there were a lot of Thai people there. And so I'm not so sure about all of that.
In Malaysia, because our caller was talking about soft power and how it's done through restaurants in Malaysia that... Excuse me. I know that there are efforts to promote Malaysia through movies and television shows.
Sure.
So that's why they established film studios like Pinewood in Iskandar, Johor, which attracted productions such as Marco Polo and Asia's Got Talent. So it's supposed to add to our soft power and hopefully lead to more tourism as well. But the effectiveness of that, I'm still yet to see how effective it's been. And I see that as an avenue for Malaysia to continue promote itself in the world.
And it is, right? You know, if we always argue with Singapore about whose food belongs to who, and why don't we just take over that effort provide grants for people to open up Malaysian restaurants and claim all that food as ours. Two birds with one stone.
Yeah, that's a great idea. There are quite a few Malaysian restaurants around there.
Zee, thank you so much for a call. And we also have a message here from Ubaidila, who says that if the government wants to impose a tax, then they have to upgrade our tourist attractions. Tax relief on companies that spend on marketing, the companies will bring in more revenues and that will compensate the tax relief. We also have a message here from Dr. J, who says that about the departure levy, let's not forget about a big segment of our tourists who are medical tourists. Mm. So we have the upper hand now with this call, being the weak ringgit. We are multilingual. We are fluent with Mandarin. We have good quality hospitals. So totally agreeing with Tony Fernandez, there must be an integrated plan overall, because let's face it, not all tourists coming to Malaysia are coming here for the beaches and the shopping, because our neighbours are doing a better job at the latter. So medical tourists are already paying medical fees from their pockets. And do we really want them to end up paying more or give them more incentives to come here while we still have the advantage? Because like it or not, Thailand and Vietnam are far more competitive with prices. And the only thing lacking there is the language. So please, we do definitely need a solid plan.
Well, medical tourism is a success story in this country. And it's a really good example of how if it's just left up to Malaysians being Malaysians, things can turn out well. Mm. You have a perhaps an oversupply even of doctors in this country. We have a lot of doctors. We also had the Air Asia happened to exist, so we had good interconnectivity around the region. Therefore, middle-class Indonesians were able to come, be they in Medan or Jakarta, to come to KL and get quality healthcare.
Right.
Plus, it was mentioned they don't want to come here for the beaches, etc. But actually, no. If you for elective surgery, for plastic surgery, cosmetic surgery, coming from Europe, you can fly over here, you can have your plastic surgery, and then you can sit by the beach for the next 2 weeks and then fly back. And it is cheaper than having it done in England, say. Mm-hmm. So all these things just happen to come together. So sometimes, you know, more often than not, you get the government involved. It's a mess.
I didn't think there was that combo that existed, that you come here for both plastic surgery and then a beach holiday.
And a holiday.
Surprising.
Yeah, and it works out cheaper.
Integrated plan.
But it wasn't even a plan. It just presented itself.
So to that point, Robert says, we have gone past the point where government knows best and to have central integrated plans. The main thing is that we lack a service mentality here in Malaysia.
Well, depends though. Some have good customers, some have good service, and some don't have good service. So it's not a general paint everything with a broad brush.
Mm. Right. And our next message comes from Azami that says, you said trust industry players, but when asked, what do you require? There is no specific answers given. You cannot expect the government to just give you money and trust you, right?
Yeah, I do agree up to a point that our caller was saying that he was very short on specifics, but it was a short phone call. I don't think we could probe too much. But yes, I was hoping for more specifics as well.
And then our next message here coming from E, who says that I'd hate to say this, but Singapore has a very good tourism
branding. Get out of here now, wherever you are.
We should learn from them. Though they also go on to say, even the Philippines is beating us. It is more fun in the Philippines tagline. It's catchy. Actually, when our call earlier from Z came through, I was so afraid that he would say Singapore instead of Thailand. But Thailand's, as a comparison, was such a great one, right? Because they focus on food, which we always bicker about. And to that point about Singapore, there is the fact that we are, in terms of size, a much larger country.
A much larger country. And, there's only one entry point into Singapore. You arrive in Changi, and then that's all it is. But I would say that the thing with Singapore, the brand name Singapore resonates around the world. Mm. And when I do travel and I say Malaysia and they scratch their heads, I would say, oh, next to Singapore. Yeah. And then they'll say, oh, okay. They still have no idea where that is, but they've heard of Singapore. But actually, Malacca, I think, fits on the bill of a brand name that's known. The experience in Malacca is deeply disappointing, but it's still a known name. So they have that advantage, and over time, and it can take a very long time, it can take decades to build a brand name through soft power, where we actually establish ourselves as as the nation that we want to be seen as.
What do we want to be seen as?
I think that the beauty of Malaysia is that the people of the good people, and when I foreigners when they do come here find that they feel that the place is somehow kind of familiar,
right,
and that they are unafraid in their journey through, unafraid because the people are themselves not threatening, they're not intrusive, and that it's a kind of an easy place to come to. So that would be the story I'd like to tell.
I think that story is coming through not from the government, but from the people themselves. So anecdotally, I've spoken to people who have been visiting from China, for example, and they like to draw the comparison us versus Singapore. And they say they find Malaysians much warmer compared to our Singaporean counterparts. So it is slowly spreading, but I think it's more of from the ground rather than up top.
You don't need to have some sort of education campaign, do you? It's just the way it is.
And I think the fact that we are, a lot of us are bilingual as well, makes it more warmer or familiar for them to be here.
Yeah.
Trilingual.
Yeah. We also have two messages about maintenance. One coming from Edward, who says that our tourist hotspots should be well maintained. Some attractions are not well maintained, like Langkawi, like Zoo Negara. This is also coming through from Maggie, who says that basic cleanliness from natural beaches, mountains to the public toilets. Also adding on to the point that safety in terms of low crime rates, we're bribe-free, basic but well-maintained public amenities like public transport. These would make happy, smiling locals, who would make tourists go home truly believing that Malaysia is a good place to visit.
It's true. A lot of places are filthy. I'm seriously filthy.
Yeah. Some beaches are just disappointing. I usually don't stay at Port Dickson for a long time.
Wow.
You can keep those messages coming. 7733 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.